Welcome back to another episode of the Achtsamkeitsimpulse podcast. Today's topic will be a communication technique well known as nonviolent communication, founded, developed, and spread around the world by Marshall B. Rosenberg. And to make you understand that NVC is much more than just a technique to communicate, I invited someone who lives NVC in every fiber of her life. Deborah Bellamy is a renowned NVC expert. As a communication consultant, she traveled around Europe and many other parts of the world to support people in the technique of nonviolent communication. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the next few minutes, which can be another opportunity to learn and grow. Hi, Deborah. Such a pleasure to finally meet you. And I'm really looking forward to this for weeks now. Do you remember when we first talked about the idea of doing a podcast together?
It was definitely last year.
Yeah. I think so. So, dear listeners, the next minutes will become an interesting and very exciting journey through a technique called nonviolent communication, in short, NVC. But before we dive into the topic of NVC, Deborah, would you please give our audience an overview about your background, especially what it was that brought NVC into your life? And what it was that brought you together with NVC to Austria?
Yes, well, that's quite a few years ago. It's well over 20 years ago. But at that time, when I had been working here as in Vienna as a English trainer for adult education, our director of the school wanted us to do personal development, and then said there's a conference over in England, and that we can all go there and choose what we want to go and listen to and learn and grow. And so I was thinking, oh, I looked on the brochure. I said, oh, this looks interesting. This guy, American guy, Marshall Rosenberg. And so I said, oh, I'll go to that workshop. And that was the beginning. I went to his workshop. And he was also did a podium where he was there for everybody at the beginning to introduce what they were doing. And so I went to his workshop, and then I got so excited and I told all my other colleagues about Marshall Rosenberg and his work, just being inspired by him in this short workshop. Yeah.
And how did you, you know, come to Austria just together, because you were a trainer here for...
That's another story. How I came to Austria was when I fell in love with an Austrian.
Okay.
And at that time we were sailing on a boat around the Mediterranean and went to the Caribbean and then went to America. And then he said, would you like to come to Austria and come and live in Vienna? And I go, oh, well, okay, I'm up for some adventure. Mm-hmm. And then I came to Vienna. And that's when I came to a country not speaking the language, and that was a bit of a challenge at the beginning. And then so this whole thing about communication mm-hmm. was interesting me, how to come around, because I then began to observe people trying to understand with body language. And I think I got a lot of understanding through body language about people. And then when I started learning the language, then I was a little bit surprised sometimes that I did understand. And other times it was like, oh, I'd rather not understand. Anyway, that was the beginning. And then one day I met this woman, bowling American woman. She invited me to become a teacher here for adult education. And that was a curiosity that opened up for me. And that I think I had it in my roots that I was to be a trainer. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sounds great. And for everyone who wants to know more about Deborah and her NVC history, I highly recommend watching the Mountain Talk on YouTube, which is a 20-minute interview in German recorded in June this year. And you will find the link to the transcript in the transcript of the podcast. Deborah, how would you, as someone who lives and breathes NVC in every second of your life, how would you describe this technique to somebody who expects, let's say, just a one-sentence answer?
It's very easy, but extremely challenging. You think it would be that you get it instantly. Would you recognize it in yourself, that there's something inside you and say, oh, yes, I understand. Oh, yes, that would make sense. But actually putting into practice, that's the most challenging part. And I think that's because we are so conditioned with habits. And to change habits does take some time. But so it's about becoming more conscious about our communication instead of just brawling out, you know, whatever we want to say, you know, and not reflecting about what do we really want to say.
Would you say it's like learning a new language from the beginning?
A new old language, because I remember Marshall Rosenberg saying that whatever thing I'm going to tell you is nothing new. It's just that he put it together to help us to have something practical, having a model to get to the layers of what really connects us as human beings again. Because we all want connection, but somehow we missed out what was separating, what was keeping us apart, what was bringing up, you know, conflicts and things. And it was through our communication. So it's about more awareness. Yeah.
So I remember my first encounter with NVC, which was during a training session called How to Give Feedback. And the trainer introduced us to the four steps of NVC, which for everyone who does not know them, their first is observation, second feelings, third is need, and the fourth is request. So would you agree that these four steps or pillars, I don't know how to call them, are the key elements in NVC?
Yes, that helps us to becoming, well, it gave me a lot of clarity about separating from why I have this emotion or what are the facts and not the interpretations, what are my needs and what do I really want from the other person or for myself. So the clarity that comes across through this model, but it could sound very technical at the beginning to people learning, because at first you've got to sort it out, actually, what's going on inside me. But through the time you start, actually, it's as you said, like learning a language, or just sometimes really interpreting when you're coming up with judgments or blaming or what's going on with the other person, you start actually translating it into feelings and needs.
That's what I remember too. It was hard for me because I was stuttering and stopping and speaking very, very slowly when I started with NVC. So does that come with it?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And I think the stumbles and falling down is part of like learning anything, you know, like an instrument or a bicycle, anything new. So that's the challenge there. But it's on the other hand, at the end of the day, if you're willing to go through the challenges of there are something to reap from it, from your communication.
I remember an interview with Marshall Rosenberg where he said that he wasn't not really satisfied with the word NVC or nonviolent communication itself because of the word violence. How would you as an expert describe the term violence exactly? What is it?
Well, let's
threaten someone, or it's just, what is it?
Well, how I look at it and understand it and what I got from it, some people might have a different approach to it. Well, I think that one sentence that Marshall says, all forms of violence are tragic expressions of unmet needs.
Okay.
So when I understood it is that when you actually have a conflict, it's around the strategies, the actions, what people are doing between two people, or could be a group of people. But if it's the violent goes towards, like, the next step would go like, I only care about my needs and I don't give a damn about your needs, and I'll do anything to get my needs met and not even consider you. So that's where a form of violence can come out of, pure frustration, madness, because you don't know how to express or how to get what you want without, you know, sometimes you harm the other person just to get what you want. And that's the change that can happen, is that that's a form of violence. Yeah. And also some, you know, I also did reflection is that, you know, the beginning of learning this model, learning about yourself, and if you're not, haven't been in connected with your own needs, sometimes you can just say my needs matter and yours don't.
Okay.
But it's not, it's about interdependent. Your needs matter, my needs matter, and how are we going to find a way together? And that's the difference. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense totally. Because what I heard is you're always up for a win-win situation, so that everybody's needs are met, okay.
To the best that we can all live with peacefully together, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what really drove me about to understand more about this work. If we can find peaceful ways to meet our needs, your needs and my needs, without, you know, harming each other. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful if it works.
So Deborah, as a martial artist, I have to admit that it is a real challenge, at least to me, to practice fighting techniques without bringing aggression and violence into the game. So would you agree with me when I say that controlled aggression or violence can sometimes be supportive or even helpful?
Well, it's a big question. As far as I understand, that you... martial art is about showing your borders, mm-hmm. isn't it? About to say how far can I, where is stop and where is go, but you also want to interact with the person in a way that's going to not be harmful. Mm-hmm. Your intention is not to hurt.
It's not to hurt, but I do need aggression, some kind of...
Well, you need an energy force. You need what I call it, you say aggression, it can be... it can be negative, it can be positive. Mm-hmm. And aggression can be in your power to say, that's a no-go for me, stop, you know. Or I to express myself in a very clear way, what am I longing for, what am I needing, and in a way, and sometimes the other person can receive me, and the other person might not receive me if I'm being aggressive in an attacking way, hurting them more. So for me, NVC is about actually being honest and open, expressing yourself, at the same time being able to be empathic to the other person, being able to listen to the other person as well. So I don't know, I don't see it as an aggression. I think it's a form of being in power with your own your own needs, and taking care of yourself, as well as the other person.
I'm thinking about a particular situation in self-defense, for example. Mm. So how do I behave when I see someone's in a dangerous situation? I'm just trying to find out how I have to behave to support or to help this person. And for me, it's almost impossible to do it without the physical, I wouldn't call it violence exactly, but without some physical interactions or interventions.
There's another part of NVC, to nonviolent communication, talks about protective use of force. Mm-hmm. And the protective use of force is to intervene when there is a form of danger, so the other one doesn't get hurt. And the other form, what the punitive form, is about, I'm going to punish you. I'm going to punish you if you don't do what I do. If you don't do what I tell you to do, I'm going to punish you. So it's this reward and punishment. Yeah, but if you do it a good way, then you get rewarded. And if you do it the bad way, you get... So it's that black and white thinking. But in this way, it's really about... that's just what I just said. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's about your intentions.
In your intentions, also, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
It's all about intentions and connection. Yeah.
Usually violence can be identified very quickly through certain signs in the body language, but how does this relate to the spoken language? How can you, or how can someone identify violence in a conversation, for example? Are there specific signs, words?
That's to use the word violence in that respect. I think what it is when you get triggered by somebody doing something or saying something or not saying something, and it triggers something in you, a pain of not taking care of your needs. So that can upset someone, but the person actually is upsetting is that's what's going on inside them. So they're not being, maybe they haven't felt safe. If they don't feel safe, then there's going to be, they're going to be triggered. Or if someone's not being heard, or if someone their needs, if you're not being respected, or if you're not being cared for, or as you said, mindfulness of Achtsamkeit. I love the word, German word, Achtsamkeit. There's something to stirs up in you, and this is an energy force, and then you in the non-violent way, would be to express that and say, you know, when you say that, I get really triggered because I feel really upset, and I would like you to, speak in a tone that I can hear myself too, or whatever, the clarity, what you're wanting. So, but I wouldn't want to put a label on that's violence. So it's not so easy to answer that.
So any signs in combination of body language and the spoken words, it's not easy because it's individual and depending on the situation?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah. I mean, I did a training the other day. It was about just expressing yourself non-verbally, and this person kept coming closer and closer and closer to the person, and this person either was backing off or was running away or was going to go into the attack forward. And then I said, what stopped that person just saying, no, you know, really just saying, no, go, you know, just being very clear, that doesn't work for me. So they did it through a nonverbal way, and it took them a while. And so it's also being able to translate that into words, to do the same action, you know, when is my no, by using words. And so I think that energy has to be like, I'm fully clear with myself, that's a no go for me. So it's an energy force again.
Marshall Rosenberg often acted in peace negotiations, sometimes even in the middle of war zones. So where he tried to bring up a mutual understanding between the two parties. So I'm curious, does NVC work across different cultures? Or to be more specific, can the language of the heart, as NVC is also sometimes called, I've learned?
Yes.
Can it be spoken and understood by everyone regardless of culture?
Well, I haven't been to every culture or every country in the world, but what the countries that Marshall reached and trained over the years when he was alive, yes, definitely. And now we are spreading, you know, NVC is being shared in, I was just listening to somebody just being certified in Taiwan, and someone being in Japan. So that's for me quite far away in Asia. Yes, so absolutely. It is a language of the heart. It's universal. We're all human beings on this planet, all trying to get our needs met. But if every culture has different ways of meeting needs. Mm-hmm. And I think that's universal, but we have different ways of meeting it. So our culture or their culture may have different ways of behavior, but if you actually go down to the root of it, if you really connect with that, what is their needs, it's universal. Mm-hmm. So every human beings on this planet Earth have needs. And when we have a vocabulary and learn, because we do talk about needs, but we sometimes, we're not clear, as I said before. So yes, it is definitely. And I've worked in countries too, where I've worked and people have translated and they have their own vocabulary. In Spain, I know they had many more words for feelings.
Okay.
Some countries, yeah, very clear about, they have different words for also for needs. So they can be, so this can be a little bit of discussion about really what is a need and what is a value, and making the difference between strategy and needs.
Okay, and worst case, you can always ask about more specific questions about what the need really is.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Deborah, I have one more question for you. So how are you feeling right now?
I'm relieved. I find it a little bit, excited to be, with microphone here, and we got the technical guy here, your son, with his headphones and the computer and your microphone. So this is a bit more official than just having an exchange. And I'm relieved that it's coming towards the end, and very grateful that you're interested in this topic and to do a recording and interview with me. So I'm very grateful for that too. Because it's very much of my heart, this topic. Yeah.
It's so nice listening to you, because you're firing out your feelings where I, for example, have to think seconds when you ask me that question. Mm. I have to think what I'm really feeling, not feeling myself forced to give you just an answer. Yeah. So I'm really impressed. So that's why you're a professional.
Well, you get to learn about your connecting your body with your with your thinking, and to allow to really go into the what is my body feeling? Am I feeling really relaxed, sort of like this? Yeah. But I can just feel a sort of a, So it's really the communication with yourself that the practice is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But dear Deborah, that wasn't really the last question. I just wanted to put the tension away a little bit.
Okay, yeah, something like yes, yeah. So that would leave it all over, yeah.
No, the question would be, what question that I did not ask you during the interview would you like to answer? So just take your time. We will come back after a short break.
Diese Ausgabe wurde gesponsert von Trialogis, dem führenden Anbieter von Wirtschaftsmediation in Unternehmen und Organisationen. Because your needs matter to us. Besuchen Sie Trialogis auf www.trialogis.at oder klicken Sie auf den Direktlink am Ende des Podcast-Transkripts.
So, what's the question, Deborah?
It's my favorite question is when you ask somebody, what brings you alive?
Okay, Deborah, what brings you alive?
What brings me alive is playfulness, laughter and humor and connection with people. Yeah. And to do something that you really love that brings you alive. And so all that in combination, that's what brings me alive.
Wow, I like that one.
So what brings you alive?
Oh. So we don't have time for that. I need time to think about it.
But you get back to me today or tomorrow or next week.
But before you really can go, Deborah, you know what comes next?
Mm-hmm. No.
No? So it's the Achtsamkeit checkout.
Okay.
So I give you 8 questions.
Yeah.
You can answer either with one word or maximum one sentence.
Okay, and you're going to check. You give me a sign.
Yeah, I give you a sign. One sentence, okay. I think I have to be more clear. I'm more precise.
Yeah, yes. How many words in the sentence?
Okay. Question number one. What is something you came across recently that gave you hope or inspiration?
Came across. I met 18 clowns and they were all just fully in the present moment and just were fully in of joy and playfulness.
18 clowns? Mm-hmm. It must have been a workshop?
Yeah.
Okay. I was wondering.
Where did you meet them on the street all at once? Yeah.
Question number two. What was the best piece of advice you have ever been given?
Oh. It comes to my mind very spontaneously, my grandfather. It says, do what you love to do and just go for it.
Okay. Is there, third question, also the worst advice?
Oh, I had one that really was, I was really shocked. It says, what you're doing is too humanitarian. And it was like, so basically stop what you're doing. You can't, you won't get anywhere with what you're doing. I thought, well, I was a bit, oh, okay. I won't hear that. Listen to that advice. Yeah.
Number four, if you could rule the world for one day, what actions would you take?
If I had ruled the world for one day, I would have a big party with all my friends. And we would dance all night long.
Number five, I guess you already answered it, but anyway, what feelings and needs were present during our podcast for you today?
Feelings and needs during the, well, there were many feelings and needs going through, but basically it's to contribute. Yeah, contribute to if anybody's listening to this and they're kind of curious, then might hear something that sort of goes, aha, yeah, that might be helpful for me. Making life more wonderful. That's what I love to do, if I can make life more wonderful for somebody else and for myself too.
Number six, if you could go back in time to your 20-year-old self, what advice would you give young Deborah?
That time when I was 20. Don't take life too seriously.
Good advice. Number seven, do you remember an event where NVC has been particularly helpful for you?
An event. I think that the most incredible experience I met was with Marshall in Budapest, when we had two groups of women coming from Serbia and Bosnia, and they hadn't come together, but what had gone through the war, they had prepared themselves for this dialogue, and to watch how Marshall mediated this group was so incredible. It was all day long, and they had agreed to come to this meeting and to share all the pain that they had experienced during the war. And at the end, in the evening, they were so tense when they arrived, the two groups of women, but when the evening came, we were all dancing together. And that was just an incredible impression that stayed with me, how Marshall, really to see him live, how he worked with these groups. Very powerful and very beautiful of how it can change when your intention is to bring peace together. People together for peace. Yeah.
Wow, that answer definitely deserves more than one.
Oh yeah, more than one sentence. Yeah.
Much more than one. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
So, eighth and final question: do you think that there could be a world free of all kinds of violence?
Oh, that would be wonderful. But I don't know in this lifetime. I have hope, but who knows? Yeah, with the way things are, if we keep staying in our same old habits, yeah, not much hope. But I have hope that it will eventually, for next generation, will change.
Thank you so much, Deborah. Thank you for taking your time to answer my questions so patiently, but most of all, for being an inspiration for compassion and empathy. And at least for me, I can say that I again have learned a lot from you. And I got very inspired and motivated to listen more carefully in the future, and also with more conscious mindset towards compassion. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you too. And thank you, Max, for being here, supporting us.
Thank you for listening and taking the time for raising your awareness towards something that contributes to a better mutual understanding. Feel free to share this podcast with everyone in need. Also, check out Deborah's webpage on www.gewaltfrei-deborah.at. If you have not signed up for the next issue of the Achtsamkeitsimpulse yet, go to www.woolflow.at. The whole transcript to the podcast, with all the links mentioned before, can also be found on the Woolflow webpage. If you would like to share your thoughts on this topic, please visit the social media channels LinkedIn, Xing, or Instagram. Thanks for listening. Be aware and take care. This is a 2022 Woolflow production. Music by Stock Audio, edited by Max Productions, all rights reserved.